pleasure to be here today to represent Cleveland County, North Carolina. It's a predominantly rural county located to the west of Charlotte. So we're between Charlotte and Asheville and right on the border of South Carolina. And I'm also very pleased to have some colleagues in the audience today, Dr. Jonathan Koch, who was the originator of this project, and Joan Walsh from UNC Chapel Hill, who has been my liaison. The Connecting the Dots project is funded by a Healthy Tomorrows project grant through the Maternal and Child Health Bureau of Health Resources and Services Administration and through the American Academy of Pediatrics. I also need to acknowledge the participation of Dr. Oscar Barberin from the UNC School of Social Work. He is the originator of the ABLE assessment that we have used in this project, and he is our consultant when we run up against a child that we don't exactly know quite what to do with. Also, Denise Stallings, who is the health director for Cleveland County, who is also here today. Penny Parker, who is our child care health consultant during the first year of the project. Staff members from the health department who supported us, and the advisory board locally who worked with us on the project. Our project goals were to support healthy social and emotional development in preschool children and prevent expulsions from out-of-home child care due to challenging behaviors. I think it's hard for some people to even comprehend that children could be expelled from child care settings, but we found it to be not a common occurrence, but one that occurred in Cleveland County more than we would like to admit. Some of you may be familiar with North Carolina's Smart Start Initiative, which is our early childhood initiative. It's a public-private partnership to ensure that children enter school healthy and ready to be successful in school. We are not a part of that Smart Start Initiative, but everything that we do has blended into the Smart Start services that are also offered by the health department. We've used a pyramid model in developing this project. The level one you'll see are the out-of-home child care providers. In Cleveland County, we have 101 child care facilities, 55 centers, and 45 family care homes. In our project for the first year, this past year, we had 10 centers with an enrollment of 284 children, and these ranged in size from 12 children in a center to our largest one with 85. We also involved our Head Start program in the first year of this project with 278 3- and 4-year-olds enrolled over about an 8-month period, because Head Start will enroll on a rolling enrollment schedule. At the first level with the child care providers, one of the first things we identified was that we needed to offer them training in the social and emotional development of young children. Our associate's degree, our childhood credential, our child care credentials offer good training in developmental issues, but they were lacking in some of the social and emotional developmental milestones for children. And we selected a curriculum promoting the social emotional competence of young children from the Center for Social and Emotional Foundations of Early Learning. We refer to the curriculum as CEFL, and you can Google it. All you need to get this curriculum is a really good laser printer, the cooperation of your colleagues who will let you tie it up for several hours, and a great big binder to put it in when you get it all through. But it's wonderful because it gives you everything that you need to do for your training with your child care providers. We offered them assistance in structuring the classroom environment to reduce challenging behaviors, and in doing this, we created an event sampling form that closely followed the environmental rating scale that was used in our infant and toddler classrooms. Some of the things that we measured on this, providing quality learning centers, organizing classroom space, organizing time, building good relationships with children and families, and providing clear and reasonable rules. We did 3 event samplings over the course of the year, and I'm very pleased to report to you that all of our centers showed improvement from the first to the third event sampling. We also offered assistance in ignoring undesirable behaviors, which is kind of hard to do in a classroom of 3- and 4-year-olds, and rewarding the desirable behaviors. And one of the things of course, that I forgot, was to bring you the solution box, which you can get in the CEFL curriculum. It's a series of pictures, and you put the children in a circle, and it helps them understand that there are solutions. If both of them want to play with the same toy, there are pictures of children who go to the toy box and choose another toy, or they hand it off to a child. We have given all of our participating centers, we printed these, laminated them, and put them in a little plastic pencil box. And one of our advisory board members, who is the center director, came in to one meeting and said, I sat through that training, I heard all about solution boxes, I just kind of went, yeah, okay. And she said, and then the next day, one of her veteran teachers came in, and she said, I'm going to try the solution box with my pre-K class. And it worked. And so what has happened now in that center, every classroom has a solution box, and they have even reduced the pictures down and put them, laminated them, put them on a key ring, and the teachers just stick them in their pocket. So wherever they are, on a field trip, on the playground, in the gym, anywhere, they are able to use the solution box, and the children are learning to make good, positive responses. In the training that we did the first year, we're really proud of this. We had one overview session and seven workshops. We had a total attendance of 301 unique individuals overall, and we covered all of the topics in the curriculum. The training was done by our child care health consultant and also by a regional behavior specialist, which is funded by the Division of Child Development from the state of North Carolina. The child care health consultant also assisted the classroom providers in using the ABLE Levels 1 and 2 assessment. ABLE is an acronym for Attention, Behavior, Language, and Emotion. We asked all the classrooms, we did a passive consent form, and then we asked all the classrooms, teachers, and parents to complete this Level 1 assessment on the children. Some of the questions on this would be continuing to misbehave, hurting others, having temper tantrums, being sad and withdrawn. And these were scored accordingly. If the child indicated, if there was an indication of two or more issues for the child, then we recommended that they do the ABLE 2, which measured on the scales of attention, aggression, opposition, language, and emotion. This scale is a 39-question entity, and then we sent it to Chapel Hill to be scored, and we made referrals for either behavioral issues or speech and language issues as a result. Our first level of referral went to the primary care providers, and this also allowed us to review all of the records and make sure that the children we were working with had a medical home. We had talked to our pediatricians. They knew this was coming. But they got the first line to rule out any physical issues that may have affected the child's behavior. We also provided training for the four providers in diagnosing and treating the high-frequency, low-impact cases of challenging behaviors. We had two champions in our largest pediatric practice who really took this to heart, and we worked with the regional area health education centers to provide the training to the providers. And then the last thing, our most challenging cases were referred to local pediatric mental health specialists, and the child care health consultant assisted in making these referrals. The state of North Carolina has a really kind of unique mental health system because instead of having community-based services, we now have a diversified system. And in the three-county catchment area for our mental health program, there are 163 registered providers. So sometimes it was a little difficult for parents to win their way through this, and our child care health consultant helped them do it. Our other advantage was that our largest pediatric practice employed a full-time psychologist, and she received a lot of referrals directly from this program. These are the results of year one. We actually screened 562 children with our ABLE 1. This year in our project, we have 10 new centers and 6 repeating centers for a total of 377 children, and I'm pleased to say we have Head Start again participating with us. Of those children, we actually screened 142 with the ABLE 2, with the more intense level. We had predicted that we wouldn't screen quite this many. We really thought the numbers would be between 10 and 15%, but we actually ended up with 25%. This year, we have the preliminary results from Head Start already, and we've dropped, out of the 244 children, we actually have only done 39 with the ABLE 2 screen. And we think it's because of two reasons. I can't prove it yet, but we're gonna go back and do some questioning. One is that we have more of the Head Start teachers trained, fully trained in the curriculum. And the second thing is that we have actually waited until October, until they knew the children a little more to do this. The children who were screened in the ABLE, actually 59 of them received behavioral referrals and 33 of them received speech language referrals. In North Carolina, the schools provide speech services to children both in Head Start and in our child care center. So that was pretty well followed through. The behavioral referrals were a little harder to deal with. In the child care centers, we did have some parents who refused to follow through. One of our challenges was that a lot of parents didn't want their children labeled and they didn't want them carrying any kind of diagnosis of a social or emotional issue. They followed through pretty well on the speech language, and when the parents had a strong relationship with the child care center director, we found that they were much more likely to follow through. In the Head Start referrals, we had a higher compliance because Head Start is charged with providing family support services, and they work very hard to build relationships with their families. So here are our conclusions. Our teachers had better training. And they had training on a topic that they didn't always get a lot of information about, the social emotional milestones in a child's life. We observed that they were more confident about trying new ideas. They began to think outside the box. Probably one of the most important things is they developed some momentum to try new things and they have kept on trying them. We found that routines and structure for children in our classrooms were reinforced. And then the tools that were developed reinforced decision-making skills for the children, such as solution boxes. Our greatest frustration in working with the families, they were positive in receiving more support from us, but they were negative in continuing to deny that the child had any problems. And if we heard once, he'll grow out of it, we heard it 35 or 40 times. But teachers also, as a part of this, became more aware of family issues, and it reinforced for them the need for positive relationships. Our pediatricians were pleased with the results. We also had given them a stress indicator scale that they were able to use so that they didn't have to say to the family, has anything awful happened to you in the past 6 months? They asked the parents instead to complete this while they were waiting, and then they had the information that they needed to really work with the family and develop some positive outcomes for the children. Thank you very much.